Well, good morning. Welcome again to Christ Community Church. My name is Mike Rodriguez, lead pastor here. Man, it's good to see you guys, honestly. Sunday's my favorite day. It's my longest day. It's also my favorite day. But just a blessing to be able to spend the morning with you guys, worship, set up, tear down. It's honestly, it's just what I would say when we're doing what God has called us to do, you know what? Things are going to happen in life, right? But when we're called and we're doing what God has called us to do, He meets us where we are. So I encourage you guys to, you know, just, I would say, soak in the goodness of God, right? We just came off of Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Man, He's alive. He's God and He's good, right? It's just a true blessing. So, you know, last week we had our Easter Sunday celebration. The fellowship was awesome. We broke bread around here. We break burritos. That's just how we do it. The Passover burrito was broken. We had a blessed time. I hope you guys all had a great time with your families. It was a little cold, huh? Yeah, it was, but it was okay. How many of you guys went to the Avocado Lake? No, you guys don't do that anymore. It's not safe anymore. I'm dating myself. Roding Park? Yeah, remember that? You guys know. You guys would go cruising? No, I know. But it was just a blessed Sunday for us. You know, we had a gathering with our family, and it was cold, a little cold, but you know what? Every day that we have together to share with fellowship is a blessed time. Amen. So the sermon for today is, you know, we finished up the series last week called Against All Odds, and we covered all the different things that Jesus overcame and what He did for us on the cross. And so we celebrated with Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. And this particular message has been on my heart, and so not excited. I was like, man, Sunday is my favorite thing. And every time I read the gospel, I always say, oh, this is my favorite part. But today is one of my favorite parts. So, you know, I've been saving this one for you guys for a couple weeks. But how many of you guys think back? You know, you can recall when you were a kid, maybe you were messing around with your friends, teasing each other, and you would hear this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Man, if that isn't a lie from the enemy, I don't know what is. Because some of the most painful things that we go through, right, come on the receiving end of a maybe a not so kind word, maybe of a rebuke, maybe of a rejection. So that's a total lie. It rhymes. It's really cute, right? But most of us, as we get older, we're like, no, man, I have some soul wounds from things that have happened to me in my childhood or in different parts of my life. And so the sermon today is called The Power of Words, right? The Power of Words. Now, how many of you guys know the strongest muscle in your body is what? Do you guys know? I know some of you guys are like, it's this one right here. This one right here, Pastor. Where are the directions? It's over there. How do I get to Walmart? That way. Not me. Look at these. These are not even pistols. I can't even call them guns. It's not my thing, brother. I was going to have Joey up here lifting some big old weights, but yes, he's ripped. I'm telling you. We're going to start a Jesus Fit ministry. I'm telling you. It's going to take off. But this is not your strongest muscle. It's your jaw. It's your tongue, right? It's what moves it per square inch. The thing that applies the most pressure is your jaw. I don't know if you guys knew that. So, yeah, you guys know that? Yeah, you guys are smart. I was saying, you guys, the people at the other churches don't know that, but you guys are the smartest people. I went around all of Sanger saying, where's the smartest church and the most beautiful? And it's right here. Look at that. Praise God, right? But the words, right? And so we're going to talk a lot about the power of words, the power of the tongue today, and what it means. Now, how many of you guys have gone to the doctor recently? Anybody gone for a checkup? Yeah. And when you go, let's say you woke up, you're like, oh, I can't, my little cough, you know, I'm not feeling good, little fever, and you make an appointment. Well, hopefully they'll let you in. Nowadays, that's a different conversation, but the post-pandemic, right? It's a new world out there. But let's say you go in, you go see the doctor, you tell him what's going on. What's one of the first things they tell you to do? They say, open wide, right? Open your mouth. Let me take a look in there. They press your tongue down and you go, yeah. And they take a look and they put a little flashlight in there. And they look at your tongue, right? Hopefully you brushed it that day. They took a look at your tonsils, the back of your throat. Maybe you have a strep throat. Sometimes they did a little swab for you. And then they'll start to do what? They're like, oh, yeah, you know what? This doesn't sound good. Maybe you need some antibiotic, would diagnose you, prescribe you something. You go home and you're happy. Yeah? Right? That's what the doctor does. What we're going to cover today is a little bit about what God does. Because he's also in the business. God is the ultimate healer, yeah? Amen? And he's in the business of diagnosing us, our lives, and our walk. And we're going to read about what it means and how he does that. By what? What do you guys think I'm going to talk about? This is a famous, Chris, the guy from Rush Hour, Chris Tucker made his, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Right? And then the famous is, don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. But we're going to read something. And part of it, when we get into the actual scripture, is a little scary, guys, because Jesus is going to give us a really good warning about how we control the tongue and what comes out of our mouth, right? I'm just saying, a little sneak peek, a little teaser to one of my favorite scriptures. But it's clear when we get into the Word of God that there is a big connection between our words and our walk, between our words and our testimony, and they have to align. Yesterday we had men's breakfast. Thank you, Brother Stephen, for hosting us. It was awesome. It was great. Good job. Thank you. I encourage you guys again, if you're available and free, make it. Try to make time to get out there. We're all busy, and I get it. We're working. Different things are happening. But if you're free, make it out to those events. If you're free to go to the women's coffee hour, make it out to those events. If you're free to come early to break bread, make it out to these events. Because ultimately, you heard me say this last week, the church, the body, right, it becomes alive by us, right? We're the bride of Christ. And so we need to have those moments where we're doing life together, like we saw in the book of Acts. But it's very clear that there's a clear connection, right, with the words that we speak and the condition of our heart. See, you guys are so smart. I'm telling you guys. The condition of our heart. You're going to read it a few times, right? The first one that we're going to read is out of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. That's the first place I'm going to read some scripture on. It says, Proverbs 18, 21, if you have you're filling in the blanks, it's going to be on there. But also, if you have your Bible, or you can just look up on the screen. It says, the tongue has a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. By the same token, Proverbs 12:18 tells us, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So the first fill in the blank for you today, because we're all about, it's like, man, you have to write. Yes, you have to write. If you don't write anything down, you're going to forget this message after 72 hours, guys. So write it down. Our words have the power of life and death. They can be used to hurt or heal. That's a fill in the blank. Our words have the power of life and death, and they can be used to hurt or heal. Now, some of you guys have been on the receiving end of this. I just said earlier when I said, sticks and stones could break my bones, but words can never hurt. We know that's a lie, right? Because we've been hurt. And if we're honest, we've also hurt other people with our words. Yes? Now, in the second passage that I read, in 12:18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, that's not for me. I'm always in control. I got it together, you know. It's like, does that resonate with anybody? I don't criticize. I just give constructive feedback. I'm not being negative. Yeah, I just have passion. I want it to be done a certain way. I want it to be perfect. I want to win. That's a Nacho reference right there. You guys know it. The best movie of all time. And we think, right? We're always like, no. I'm like a surgeon with my words. I'm very precise. I only do this thing. And so you think, like, maybe you're like, oh, this is my thing. I'm just very exact, like a little scalpel. But the reality of it, if you ask the people around you, you're like this. You walk in, you're like, hey. I have a firm grip on it, believe me. I don't want no accidents. Because Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless, they pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing, right? Now, you guys are saying, what's he doing with that? I'm El Salvadorian. There's always one in the trunk, you know? So I was like, hey, I'm going to use that one for the... That's right. What's that? The holy machete. That's right. The words of the reckless, they could pierce like a sword, right? If you don't know what you're doing with that thing, you could hurt somebody, right? By the same token, if we don't measure our words, what could happen? We could cause a lot of havoc and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of trauma. Some of us know, right? Some of us know that we've gone, and oftentimes the people that we want that should have encouraged us, but in a moment of anger, in a moment of frustration, words come out, and those words hurt. You can't take them back, right? See, the reason why God is asking us and saying your testimony matters, right? Because your words, it's like this little toothpaste right here. You guys see it? And your words, you have to measure them very exactly, right? Now, I brushed my teeth this morning, guys. This is a little baby one for the demonstration. Because when you don't, what happens? The minute that you say it, and maybe this has happened to you, you start mouthing off. You're not in the right mindset. And you know, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You can't take it back, guys. Can I get in here and try to put the toothpaste back in this little toothpaste container? You can try, but it's going to be a hot mess. I mean, they make all kinds of... And that's what happens in our walk, in our life, when we're letting our emotions get the best of us. When we're just acting, oh, I'm just very passionate, and I'm this and that. Forget about all that. We're going to read some scripture that says, no, I don't care how passionate you are. I don't care how right you think that you are. There's a time for you to speak, and this is me included, and there's a time for you to, shh, mira, quiet, calladito. Because once we let the words out, you can't put it back in. There it goes again. And even sudden, and this has happened to me before. I'm speaking from one day my wife is going to give an amazing testimony about what it's like to be married to me. And I even, sometimes it comes out of my mouth and I'm like, oh, I try to catch that one. Because I already know, right? You know it instantly. You know what instant regret is when you're like, respond a certain way? Yeah, every husband in here should say amen. If you didn't, you're a liar, okay? We're going to have a separate prayer for the liars. Every husband, and for that matter, every woman in here should say amen too. We're not discriminating today, guys. It's equal opportunity for the word. We have to measure our words in very, very calculated. Why? Because the tongue has a power of life and death. And the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Do you have people like that in your life? That you know, it's like, man, I need an encouragement. I need a word. And you talk to them, you're like, oh, I just, me desahogué, I feel good. I needed somebody to talk to. I needed a brother and sister to pray for me. The tongue of the wise brings healing, right? Brings us back down, gathers us again. Gives us a different perspective and encouragement and prayer. Because oftentimes we all have our go-through, we all have our struggle. Yeah? We need brothers and sisters like that. We need each other, guys. A lie from the enemy is that you think you're going to be able to do this walk and succeed on your own. That is a lie. You can't do the 52 one of others that are in the New Testament alone. We need each other. And so the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. James chapter 1, verse 19 writes to us, and he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Now, what's the reality of it? Do we follow that recipe? Usually not, right? We even start talking. If it's something that I already know, like if I feel like I'm being attacked, I don't even wait till my wife, I'm just being honest with you, I don't even wait for her to finish talking. I'm already like, no, but my reason, justifying, yes, self-immerity, I'm already defending myself. James is saying, Pastor Michael, you need to shh. Be quick to listen, right? Be slow to speak and slow to become angry. But what do? If somebody has some kind of a rapport, feedback, whatever it is, you might shut down. You might already respond. I'm already responding. I'm just honest, right? You guys need to pray for me. I'm already responding. And then the one that I'm supposed to do last, slow to what? That's usually the first one. How many of you guys, again, we're honest, right? If you can't tell the truth here, you can't tell the truth anywhere. How many of you guys, when something already, you feel like your blood pressure, like, already, huh? Thank you. The rest of you guys are holier than us. Praise God. No, I'm kidding. The anger gets to you, right? And it could be over something good, but ultimately your response, does it make things better? It doesn't. Then it's like the toothpaste. Now it's not just about what you're upset about, but the mess that you're making now with the words that are coming out of our mouth. So it's really important, like James says, that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, no matter what you say, if you're a follower of Christ, it's clear. What you say matters. What you say matters. And what you say about yourself matters too. We're going to get into that. Some of us have gone through and have some healing to do. Some of us have some forgiving to do. Some people have said things to us that have really hurt. Words hurt. But there's power in forgiveness. There's power in forgiveness, guys. And then there's some of us that the words that we tell ourselves are self-defeating. The words that we believe, the lies that we believe, that somebody has planted that seed of deception in our heart and we keep repeating that part. That's a word that we're going to talk about, and we're going to do something at the end of the service to address that as well. But Jesus himself, I just finished saying, I gave you guys the little teaser. Jesus himself tells us about our words and the condition of our heart. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 12, and we're going to read 33 through 37. I'm almost there. A little patience. All right. So the context of this passage is that Jesus is healing. His ministry is in full swing. He's rebuking and casting out demons. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're saying that he's casting out demons in the name of the devil, right? These people are crazy. But and Jesus tells them, he goes on to say, listen, how could I be casting them out? A house divided amongst itself will not stand. I'm not coming from the devil. And then he flips the script on him, right? Jesus is so awesome. But let's read it. 33. It says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out, brings good things out of the good stored up in him, And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Let me just stop there. And I'm going to read 36 and 37. Jesus is saying what? Out of the overflow of the mouth speaks the heart. Now we live here in the valley. Got a lot of trees around here, yes? You know, I mean, hopefully you know what's like a peach tree versus a nectarine tree versus, you should know. But Jesus is saying, man, like a tree, if the fruit that's hanging off of that is not good, you know what kind of tree it is, right? But if it's a bad tree, it's going to have bad fruit. Now, what's our fruit? It's our what? It's our actions. It's how we live our life. He goes on to say that out of the overflow of your mouth, or the overflow of your heart, sorry, speaks. Out of the overflow of your heart, speaks the mouth. I'm sorry, guys. I've had 3 cups of coffee this morning. And the good man brings out good things out of the good that is stored in him. But an evil man brings out evil things that are stored up in him. I've heard this analogy before. I'm not going to do this because Norma's here and then we're going to have to clean it. But you know, people will know what you're full of. And I mean, it's the coffee, not the wood. People will know what you're full of, but based on how, when you get bumped, when you get agitated. Like if I'm walking here and people are around me and it's like, if somebody bumps me, it's like, oh, God bless you, sister. But if somebody bumps me, it's like, hey, I'm walking here. You almost made me spill my coffee. Does that sound familiar? Hey, all mad. You're driving your car and it's like the worst thing happened to you because somebody cut you off a little bit. You were late anyway. You blend up. Yeah? Your morning was already messed up. And somebody did a little thing to you. Hey! Yeah? Sounds familiar, huh? What bumps you that day? What spilled out? Peace? Was it that person's probably having a bad morning. I pray that something's going. Not usually. If we're honest. What comes out is like the anger, the frustration. Hey, you know. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, hey, people are going to know you by your testimony, by the type of fruit that you're producing in your life, by the overflow of your heart. And you know in that minute that if Jesus was sitting right next to you in the car or at your house when you were having that conversation, you would be like, what? You'd be like, oh my gosh. Right? We don't like that. We don't like to have our mess out in the open. When people come over to your house, you like to clean it up a little bit. A little bit. You don't like to have all your... Jesus sees the heart, guys. Who do you think they were fooling? We're just fooling ourselves. And Jesus is very clear, and he tells the hypocrites, right? The religious leaders. These are the holy rollers that he's talking to. That's why I even laugh. He's like, you brood of vipers, right? You're supposed to be representing God's people, and look at what you're full of evil. That's why Jesus is awesome. I mean, Jesus is awesome because he's God, but I always laugh. Like, I just wish I would have been like, oh, burn. You know, like, you got him. anyway. It's very clear, right? Second fill in the blank. The words you speak reflect the condition of your heart. The words that we speak reflect the condition of our heart. The words that we speak, we want to reflect Jesus Christ. We want to reflect his goodness. Not all that drama. We already have enough people that are dramatic, right? It shouldn't be us. James is going to give us another reminder as well. If you want to turn your Bibles to James chapter 3, we're going to read a little bit. James chapter 3. You guys there? James chapter 3, we're going to start verse 1 through 10. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that he who teaches will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is ever at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of a horse and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and driven by strong winds, and they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it is itself set on fire by hell. Let me just stop there. James is giving us a really clear warning, guys. He's saying we need to control our tongues. You need to learn how to tame your tongue. You guys have seen cowboys or like when they have a big old horse, 2,000 pounds strong, right? It's controlled by what? A little piece of metal. That's the bridle that's put on, and a piece of metal, and they turn it, and it turns the 2,000 pound. I think it's a beast. It's strong, right? The ship of a rudder, right? How many of you guys saw that the thing that happened in Baltimore on Monday or whatever this week, wasn't it? Where the power went out? Did you guys see the bridge collapsing? I think it looked like a movie, huh? And what could have shipped? The rudder in the back, if it would have just turned a couple, would have averted a lot of disaster. There are 6 people that are on the bridge and they died from that. That's what James is telling us. He says, your tongue is like that. It's driving your life. It could lead you into the right way or it could lead you into a lot of destruction. There was so much scripture on this one. Go back. When you have some time and read the rest of Proverbs 12, you're going to like that part. It says, the mouth of a fool, right, invites a beating. It's true. Some of you guys have friends like that. You would go, I don't want to be around that guy because he's always mouthing off. Let him get beat up by himself. I don't have no part in that. Then he goes on to say what? He says, consider a forest that gets, and we have them here, right? We have forest fires, big old fires, the Paradise Fire. I mean, it looks like apocalypse after you saw some of that footage up in Santa Rosa last year, or the year before, I think. And it's saying, a spark like this could set that whole fire, the whole forest on fire. It's saying your tongue is like that. Your tongue, we could build this. We're in a beautiful building right here. But this spark, right, could cause this whole thing to go up in flames. It's saying your life is that way in our own life. Let me go back and read it. It says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Consider also, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets course for one's life on fire. It itself is a fire by hell. That's a strong warning. James is saying it's not optional. He's saying you need to learn to control your tongue. Yeah? If you grow up in the streets, people say, you better watch your mouth. Or I'm going to do something about it. I learned my lesson one time. True story. Let's park the car. I got into one fight in my whole life. It was my brother. I lost. And he was very kind to me. I hit him with a wiffle ball bat. He said, and he told me very calmly, he said, you just messed up. And then he proceeded to punch me very kindly in the stomach, and I was like, cried. And then, of course, I think my dad saw, and so he got it worse. Sorry, bro. Lesson learned. Watch your tongue. Pastor Michael, you're a small dude. Don't be mouthing off. Thank you. That's a very important lesson my brother taught me that day. Praise God, right? Don't be mouthing off. You don't have the physique for it. Look, I told you guys, pistols, not guns. Let's continue on. Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles of the sea, and creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. Let me say that again. No human being can tame the tongue. And you're going to say, man, well, that's depressing. We're going to get to the good part. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You're like, man, I'm not feeling encouraged right now. We're supposed to be encouraged. We're going to get to the answer. See, you on your own, you don't have the capacity. That's what James is saying. I don't care how hard you try. You're not going to be able to tame your own tongue. But somebody's going to be able to. Just not you. Verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we have cursed human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and also cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? A grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. He's being very clear. We can't have it both ways, guys. We can't be praising God and then cursing somebody right after. You can't produce one kind of fruit and expect... No, we have to be consistent. Now, he was very clear that no human being could tame it. So you might say, like, well, man, I just might as well leave right now. No, it's not time yet. Plus, we're going to get to the answer. So James gives us strong reminders about our need to tame our tongue. That's the third fill in the blank if I didn't say it. James gives us strong reminders on our need to tame our tongue. So what do we need to do, right? What do we need to do? I'm just going to give an example. This is going to be, my brother's going to remember about this. When I talked about with the same mouth, you're praising and you're also cursing somebody. We have an aunt who, she was notorious. She'd be talking to you and she's like, hi, sweetheart. Everything good? Yes. Yeah. That, oh, what was I telling you? Let me tell you about it. And then her husband or her kid would interrupt her and she would go off like F-bombs. What the f? Don't you see that I'm talking? Blah, blah, blah. And then she says, what was I telling you again? Oh my gosh. I'm not even kidding you. And she would be like, rawr! And then she'd come back, what was I telling you again? Oh man. You know exactly who I'm talking about. I was like, what am I seeing here? Like, did that just happen? That's the analogy. We can't be praising God and doing good things and then at the same time cursing somebody. That doesn't make any sense. What do we need to do as Christians? And James just said it very clearly. The problem is that you can't do it on your own. In your human strength, you cannot do it. You can't tame your tongue. You can't what? Give yourself a heart transplant. Jesus said what? You're speaking out of the overflow of your heart. And Jesus says, but you know what? You have a heart of stone. Let me get in there and replace it. As Christians, we need to do one thing, though. Of course, we know we have to trust Jesus Christ. But the psalmist tells us that we need to guard our mouths. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. See, you can't do it on your own strength. But David says what? Psalm 141, verse 3, it says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. He doesn't say, give me the strength. He says, no, you set a guard. You set somebody to watch my lips. And the good news is that Jesus came. And the good news is that we have John chapter 14, which is one of my most favorite passages of Scripture. See, there's somebody that controlled his tongue. There's someone who didn't sin. There's someone who always spoke words of life. See, we need the power of Jesus. We can't do this on our own. You think that we're going to be able to change our heart? You think that we could do our own heart transplant? We can't. That's the work of Jesus, and that's the work of somebody else. And we're going to read all about him right now. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 15. We're going to read all the way through 27. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and they too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the Lord, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Amen. See, James is very clear. In your own human ability, you're not going to be able to do this. The psalmist says, "Lord, set a guard over my heart." And then Jesus in chapter 14 says what? He says, if you love me, it starts with him, right? In the first portions of John 14, he says, he's talking, he's trying to comfort the disciples. He's telling them he's going to die. They're not getting it. They're saying, "Show us the way to the Father." Philip, and Philip says, "Haven't you been with me, right? That I am the Father, Father and one, and the only way to the Father is through me." Then he continues on to give them encouragement because he says, "Listen, I'm going to send you somebody, an advocate, that's going to live in you." I don't know, man, you guys are not excited about this. I'm telling you, the guard is the Holy Spirit, guys. He's going to teach you how to do these things. We have to trust him. We have to listen. We got to give our life to Christ first, and then the advocate comes in. He's the guard. He's the one that tells you, "Shh, calladito. That's not of the Lord." And how does Jesus say that we show that we love him? If we keep his commands. If we keep his commands, the world will know, right? That you love me. Now, if we're just over here and it's like, well, you know, when I feel like it, when I'm in the mood, when I'm not tired, I'm going to listen. I'll obey the commands. I won't even take time to read what they are. Come on, guys. Let's be honest. This takes time. This takes commitment. But I'm telling you, the things of lasting value in this life require commitment. And they're worth it. And when you do it, you're glad that you did. And how do we do that? We build strong convictions in our life about what our life is going to be like as a follower of Christ. That we align ourselves with his will. Jesus himself, in this passage, he says it time and time again. Listen, you think Jesus, in their time, instead of making it like bold and big old emojis and exclamation mark, you know how they told you it was important? They say it like three times. How many times did he say, if you love me, you'll do my commands. And then I'll be with you and the Father will be with me and we'll be together. And then he says it again. And then he says, I'm going to send you a helper. And by the way, you're going to forget, I'm going to send you a helper. It's important. That's why Jesus repeats it. Three different times in that passage alone. It's important, guys. We need a heart transplant. We need to give our life to Jesus Christ. And we need to be prompting and saying, man, Holy Spirit, yes, I struggle with this thing. I'm having this anger. Before you even talk, build in the guardrails of your life. Say, Holy Spirit, man, just help me. Listen, when I drive up on the mountains, I don't drive as far as I can. Like, let me see how far out to the edge I go. No, I'm way over here. We need that type of guardrail in our life, guys. Build in the convictions about what our life is going to be like. And we have to be committed to being in our word and doing the commands that Jesus Christ gave us. And then listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Man, God gave it all for us. We celebrated that last week. He prepared us. He made a way to the Father. You've heard me say it. When you get the Father, you get God. And he says, not only that, I'm giving you my word. And then I'm going to give you the advocate, the helper, that's going to teach you to remind you of the things that I'm, of what I said. But even then, we struggle with that. We want control, right? We don't want to give the steering wheel up. How many of you guys are like, you like to drive? No matter where you go, you want to be the driver, yeah? That's me, honestly. No matter where I go, I want to drive. Because then I'm like over, and even though I'm there, like, I can't even rest. I'm like trying to like drive. Hey, pressing the brake over here. That's true. You guys know you make terrible backseat drivers too, right? Yeah. Because we want to be in control. We don't want to be like, oh, I trust. No. Like, I'm good. It's a true story. We want to be in control. But guess what? Jesus is saying, this issue that you have with controlling your tongue, you can't do it on your own. You need somebody to guard your mouth and guard your heart and to remind you of the things that I'm teaching you. And we have to surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to say what? He only says what I tell him. And what did Jesus say? I'm only in alignment with what the Father's telling me. There's perfect unity right here. We trust the love of the Father. We trust the love of Jesus Christ. Can we trust the Holy Spirit to guide us, to guard our hearts and to guard our mouths? Because we don't. We got to be very careful, guys. The words that we say, they cut. The words that we say ruin testimonies. The words that we say can ruin lives. Listen, you're leading in some capacity, in some way, shape, or form in your life. How many of you have kids in this room? You better, for sure, make sure that the advocate is helping. Because, man, if your patience is going to be tested, I'm telling you, just keep living. Just wait till they get older. And they know everything. You guys know. Every parent here should say amen. They're a blessing, but, man, I'm telling you. Listen. Jesus gives us a clear answer, a clear blueprint. If I haven't made it clear, our words have the power to bring life and death. We're made in the image of God. We're not God. God spoke life, spoke everything to existence, but we're made in his image, in his likeness. And so be very careful, brother and sister, what comes out of your mouth. And let's make sure that we are in our word, that we're studying, that we're praying, and that we're asking the Holy Spirit for guidance. The voice, you know, the still small voice that we talk about, we hear it sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to, right? We want to, okay. No, we need to listen and submit to the will of the Holy Spirit, because he's only telling us, like Jesus says, what the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what Jesus says, and he's in alignment with the Father. I lost my place in all my notes here, guys. The fifth fill in the blank says, and I summarized it already, but it says, Jesus must be Lord of our hearts. and we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus must be the Lord of our hearts, and we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to know Jesus. We need to obey his commands, and we need to heed the prompts of the Holy Spirit. That means listen. Listen, God has filled us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." James already told you, in your own human power, no human can tame the tongue. But the Holy Spirit fills us with a spirit that is not timid, that gives us power and love and self-discipline. And we got to listen to that. This is a good sermon, guys, to put on the fridge at home, because that's where all the action happens, or in your car. I'm just saying. If you want it, I can email it to you as well. Jesus tells us that out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And right now, today, there's some stuff that we need to work out. I mean, we're honest, but I talked about this. I opened this with this, that some of us have been hurt. Some of us are carrying and walking around some bitterness in our heart, some unforgiveness, some resentment, some pain. And it's a lie that maybe somebody you trusted or somebody that you loved planted early on in your heart, or maybe you're still walking through that. Guess what? Jesus came to provide an answer to that. We have to let him in. I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys to stand up, and I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to do something. Because some of you are not going to come out and say, you know what, that's true. When I was a young kid, I remember my mom said something that really just hurt me, somebody that I loved, somebody betrayed me. But when we are believing those lies, we walk around with that. It's a weed. It's like a root that's planted. It rained recently around here. I don't know if you guys know. You guys saw it. What happened to your yard? All kinds of weeds, huh? And what happens when you grab a good one? And sometimes you even have to like two hands to try to get the big one. Has a big root down there. You guys seen that? The lies and the hurt that have been caused by sometimes the people that we love who have let us go, or that we trusted, that let us down. Those things have a lingering effect. There's a reason why we respond the way that we do, guys. There's a reason for it. It means that things are planted in there that we need to let God go. We need to pull those things out. You're believing a lie that somebody planted, or, you know, and those things are not from God. So what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to read. Because, you know, I've said it. Hey, there's not a whole lot of power in my word, but there's power in God's word. There's power in God's word. Power to bring us from death to life. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for today's word. A word and a reminder of the power of the words. Lord, you spoke the universe into existence by your own word. You tell us you open the book of John and say, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh. And we celebrated that last week. We celebrated Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, and his sacrifice for us on the cross. And Lord, today we're just reminded again of the power of our words, that it has the ability to build up, or it has the ability to tear things down. It has the ability to hurt, or has the ability to heal. Lord God, right now there's people in this room that are believing some kind of lie about some heart trauma about a lie that has been planted in, that is a lie from the devil himself, because it's not your words. As I'm praying right now, I want you to examine your own heart and maybe identify it. Identify what's causing that anger, that anxiety, that fear, whatever it is. And this morning, if we can, let's just do a visual. Just try to just remove that lie from our heart. We need to trust. We can't start to speak all these words of encouragement and peace and of love and joy and filled with the Holy Spirit, if there's that weed that has taken heart, we still have a hardened heart even towards God. So first and foremost, if there's somebody here that has not trusted Jesus with their life, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If there's somebody here that has not trusted Jesus with your life, raise your hand. Amen. For the rest of us here, I'm going to ask you all right now to examine your own heart and look to see what is causing that pain and that hurt that is the trigger that whenever you're bumped, the anger and the fear and the anxiety and things happen in your life, something is there. And I want you to even visualize yourself this morning just grabbing it from the top of the, like a weed, and just pulling it out. I know it sounds silly, but just go with it. Imagine yourself just grabbing that and just pulling it out. Surrender that at the feet of the cross. Jesus came to give us life to the full. Jesus came so we wouldn't have to have this anxiety. We could bear the fruit that he wants us to be filled with, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, thank you. Self-control. We're fooling ourselves if we think that we can do it on our own. We need Jesus. We need to surrender those things to him. There's somebody even here that you're holding on to some kind of pain and you need to forgive. Jesus came to die on the cross for the forgiveness of all sins, even those committed against us. He doesn't need us to collect on those. So if your pain today is because somebody hurt you, you need to surrender that to Jesus. Put it at the cross. We weren't meant to carry that pain and that suffering. We got to surrender it to Jesus Christ. As everybody's praying and examining their heart, I'm going to read some scriptures over all of us this morning. Right out of God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit to remind you of how precious and how loved you are by the Lord. We need to strengthen our faith. The book of Romans tells us that our faith comes from hearing the message, and we're encouraged, but we gotta sometimes read the scripture aloud to us to remind ourselves of the truths that are in the Bible. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Listen, the world may tell us that we don't look a certain way, that we're too short, we're too pudgy around the stomach. None of that. The Lord says that we are made fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are wonderful, and that we know that full and well. God doesn't make mistakes, brothers and sisters. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. See, God already knew he had a plan for your life. Maybe you're not going to be a prophet to the nation, but maybe you'll be a prophet to your family, to your friends. You can share the good news of who Jesus is. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now this is what the Lord says. He created you, Jacob. He formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. So God says that you belong to him. The world may say, your friends may say, but you belong to him. He summoned you by name. You're not here by accident. Psalm 34:5 says, those who look to him, to God, are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you that we don't have to bury them. We're not condemned, that we're set free in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10 says, and in Christ you have been bought to the fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that they did not know Him. Galatians 3:26 says, "So in Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing." Philippians 1:6, "Being confident in this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into wonderful light." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jeremiah 20:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Romans 8:39 says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we have loved, but that He has loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And lastly, Psalm 103:17 says, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children." Amen. Thank you for the reminders that we are loved, we are chosen, we are called. We're God's own possession. We're not here by accident. We have a purpose in Jesus Christ. And He's given us a work to do. And it even tells us that those of us that fear Him will be reminded that His love for us is everlasting, and that even our children's children will receive from that blessing, have the opportunity to know who God is. Again, we have a lot to be thankful for, but let's again remember that we serve a God who is awesome. Let's surrender all of this pain, all of this hurt, all this anxiety. Trust in Jesus Christ to work in our hearts. Trust the Holy Spirit to guide us. Father God, just meet us where we are this morning, Lord. Meet us where we are and be encouraged by the power of Your word, Lord God. Help us not to just leave this place and leave like nothing happened, but just to be encouraged by Your word. And as we start to backslide, let's go back to Your word. Let's pray. Let's be filled with the Spirit to do the work that You've called each one of us to do. We want to glorify and magnify You and You only, Lord God. We want to do our part to build up the kingdom because You are good. Help us to share the good news of who You are, Lord. Continue to guide us and fill us with peace, Lord. Help us not to be duplicitous and live one way and be speaking another way. No, help us to be filled and in alignment with how You want us to live, to be filled with goodness, to overflow. That fruit that we share is good fruit, that it's You manifested in our life. Father God, guide us, protect us, and keep us safe. Thank You again, Lord, for the ability to gather, to meet, to be encouraged by Your word, and to worship You. Thank You. You are alive and You are well, and You're seated at the right hand of the Father, and that You intercede constantly for us sinners, Lord. Thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy, Lord. Continue to guide us and keep us. We love You. In Jesus Christ's name.